Oh, buddy, today was a real day of free agency for the Nets. Hit us with the beats.
We start free agency when we're good and ready. That is not a quote from Sean Marks, but it's exactly how it played out. We're going to dive in on, finally, some real names to talk about. We've got Bruce Brown coming back officially. We've got the numbers on him, as well as a low buy on James Johnson, and then the big get. One, Patty Mills coming over to help round out this guard rotation behind our superstars.
We're going to get to it all here. It's a packed one. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Brooklyn, yo. All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day as we roll through free agency. The NBA never stops. I'm Doug Norrie, along with Adam Armbrecht. We're going to break down where free agency is looking right now for the Brooklyn Nets. Had a much bigger Tuesday than Monday. Monday was just the aperitif, right? the appetizer, if you want to get a little less classy, as we tried to think about what the Nets were going to do. And then Tuesday is when it felt like all the things started happening. Buddy, how are we doing? It feels like Nets season kind of like looks starting to take shape here a little bit.
Yeah, remember that thing you wanted to have happen and then it didn't happen right when you wanted it to, and then you thought maybe it was never going to happen. But then all of a sudden you turned around and it started to happen. That's essentially free agency for most of Brooklyn Nets fans. You sound energized, though, if I can be honest with you. You sound like free agency really gets your, you know, sets you to a simmer, or from a simmer to a boil, I guess. I don't know. Something's happening inside you.
You love the draft. I love, like, the player moving piece. I'm not saying you don't love this thing. Not everyone loves all the same things equally. I do the free agency thing. I find fascinating just for the whole NBA. I love the thought of player movement. I love thinking about what teams are going to look like. I love just sort of like something like the cat and mouse game of who's it working out for, and it's kind of looking around and whose team hasn't really been called all that much, right? Sometimes you think about, oh yeah, this team's making moves and this team's making moves, and you kind of look back, you're like, I didn't hear about a couple of these teams do anything, right? So the whole thing kind of just, coalesces into one cool, player movement thing, and you just kind of dream on the season. But let's get into where the Nets are right now. So a bunch of stuff happened here on Tuesday. Some things aren't finalized, some are, and we want to try to give sort of a, just kind of give you a lowdown of where they are, and then some other, really exciting pieces of news. The first one, Spencer Dinwiddie. This situation is not resolved yet. According to, where are we right now? I think we're thinking he's going to sign with Washington, but there's still moves that need to be made, and it feels like maybe the Nets have a little bit of leverage here. Where are we with Dinwiddie?
Well, and we talked about it the other day. There was that speculation around what the contract could look like, a 3-year deal, $60 million. But at the time, I didn't think that the Nets necessarily had leverage. And technically, technically they do. And it's because, to put into the context, the thing that I cannot fully digest in real time, all the mechanics of contracts and balancing the books and who can go where and when. But the reality right now is the Lakers, technically, the trade with Russell won't be made official for Westbrook going to the Lakers until the 6th. But theoretically, the Lakers have taken on all of that money, and they sent the likes of Kuzma and Harrell and also KCP back. And that's two contracts at $13 million, another one at $9 million. So there's big money on Washington's books. Now, if the Nets come into the dance floor, they can get into the mix and you can start throwing bodies all over the place here and make all the numbers work out. The problem is that in the meantime, or at least as I see it, is in the meantime, the Lakers went out and took care of one of their own in Horton Tucker, giving him a $32 million extension. They brought in Kendrick Nunn on a 2-year deal. They brought in, Carmelo Anthony, Ariza, Ellington, Howard. Now, a lot of these guys are on short, one-term, low-cost deals, but they're still putting money on their books. So every time that more money lands on another roster, it makes it harder for Washington to sit there and say, well, how do I take in another $18 to $20 million a year on Spencer Dinwiddie's contract, knowing that the Brooklyn Nets are not taking back anything from them. So you need to get, originally you say, like, well, you need a third team involved. Okay, let's spread it out with the Lakers. There was a couple different reporters that were saying this could be one of the most complicated trades that ends up ultimately going down, because you're going to need either a third team that isn't the Lakers or maybe a fourth team to help spread out all of the dead contract weight that these teams need to offload before you can make the singular move of Westbrook to the Lakers, Dinwiddie to the Wizards. But all this other stuff gets thrown into the pot, and I think that's why you're seeing it wait out, because if you consider the teams, like you just said, who's not getting called? Whose name isn't being mentioned? What teams haven't been making a lot of moves? Well, those are the teams that, as free agency moves along, are going to turn their attention potentially, if they're not contenders already as they stood, and they're going to say, who's got a bloated contract that they need to unload? We're open for business. And that's what Washington needs to wait for, and that's what the Nets need to wait for before they can hopefully take something out of this and say, we get a little asset back here. Maybe this is also a path potentially for the Nets to find another low-cost veteran player that helps fill out their roster.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts around this. It's going to have to be a wait and see. I think we're going to probably end up reporting on this later in the week.
No more questions, Tom.
And figure out where the Dinwiddie piece is. But like I said, the Nets made plenty of other moves today as we wait for this one to resolve itself. The other big move, and I'm gonna tell you right now, we're gonna get into each one of these into more detail later on in the week with different podcasts, because there's just so much news from today that we wanted to make sure we hit on all the news pieces, and then we'll slowly go back and just talk about what each thing means here for the Nets. The second piece was, Bruce Brown came out and accepted his qualifying offer, $4.7 million for the Nets. He's going to be a Brooklyn Net for another year. Then he will be an unrestricted free agent after next season. But it means one more year of Bruce Brown's particular form of guard-like center basketball for the Brooklyn Nets. Again, I think when it was all said and done, we kind of thought that this was going to be the case with where this landed. It was hard for us to see the market that was really set for Bruce Brown. We talked about this at length at multiple times of how, you know, we knew exactly what Bruce Brown's value was for the Nets. It was hard to see how other teams would be able to translate that specifically onto their own team. And from that point of view, it really felt to us like when it was all said and done, that qualifying offer was going to be the thing that ended up landing Bruce Brown on the Nets, and it looks like it did.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Bruce Brown wasn't going to be anybody's number one target. So as teams start to roll through the guys that they're looking to talk to immediately as free agency opens, or maybe a little bit before, depending on your perspective, then once you get player X, all of a sudden, well, Bruce Brown isn't even on your radar anymore. And from Bruce Brown's perspective, you know, the cap is still working itself out, coming out of the COVID impact on sports in general. So another year, I think this is good for Bruce Brown in the sense of, you make a nice little bit of coin, it's nothing to scoff at, and then 1 year from now, when you're unrestricted, you may be able to have a two-year sample size showcasing yourself again to the league. And now other contending teams may look at you differently, or just a roster's looking to build. So you can go ahead and come back to the table next year, and if it's not with Brooklyn, somewhere else, get yourself a bigger contract. So it just seemed like pretty quickly, I'll say, they waited a little bit and then said, okay, looks like this is good. And by the way, remember the quotes. Bruce Brown said, all these guys may be so much better. I learned so much this past year. I think that he also knows his game is going to be that much more improved another year being with these superstars.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things. I think he probably didn't hit peak value this year, because there's definitely parts of his game that can improve. And if he's able to showcase a little bit more of that over the coming year in like a slightly different roles here or there, then I think that number could look even better next year. So Bruce Brown, again, no one increases value even like year over year as much as Bruce Brown did. The fact that he's looking at a contract like this, and 4 point, you know, people speculated it might be higher, but even $4 million for a guy who was buried at seemed like the bottom of the bench to start this season to now being sort of this vital cog in the Nets machine is a story among itself. So we've talked about Bruce a ton in the season. He's been amazing. Super happy to have him back. Just the kind of guy you need around this core group of guys. Doesn't need the ball. Can do a lot of different things. Gives other defenses kind of fits because he just plays a position that sort of nobody else does in basketball at this point, which, like you said, is that guard center, short roll guy to the basket, and also excellent defender. So super happy to have him back for another season. And now next we're going to get into the guys that the Nets brought in free agency. A couple new faces come into the team. First, if you're in need of a protein bar and you want one that doesn't taste like a combination of cardboard and sponges, like a lot of the different protein bars on the market now do, you got to get your hands on a Built Bar, the absolute best tasting protein bar on the market, completely covered in chocolate, which you're not even going to believe these things are actually healthy for you. And then you hear the flavors, coconut, raspberry, orange, salted caramel, cookies and cream, a little something for every single palate out there. Built Bar has all the stats you want too, 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, just 4 to 5 grams of sugar. Oh, you're getting excited. Only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. They're all healthy, all super tasty. The amazing flavors go a long way. You can even get grasshopper cookie right now, which if you're into thin mints, that's the way you want to go. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. You go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, just like our podcast network, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at built.com.
Okay, so there's a little fish, and then there's the big fish of the day for the Brooklyn Nets. Let's just start there, because I think that his impact, if it's being underestimated by Brooklyn Nets fans, you're going to estimate it, whatever the version of that is, once he gets on the court. And that's Patty Mills, because you and I talked about other teams being involved. The Lakers were possibly going to be a landing spot for him, and it didn't feel like if someone else was willing to go a couple extra dollars up, it was going to be hard for Brooklyn to stay in those waters. Instead, they end up getting him on 2 for $12 million with a player option in year number two.
Yeah, this is a great signing for the Brooklyn Nets. No other way to put it. He brings a veteran presence that they need. 32 years old, has played most of his career with the Spurs at this point. Brief stint with the Blazers, but he's known as a San Antonio Spur through and through. Has played big playoff minutes in the past. Has won a championship here with the Spurs. So this is exactly the kind of guy you want to bring in. He's on an international level right now, playing with Australia. Mills, not exactly a dead-eye three-point shooter, but a very good three-point shooter at 39%. But the key here for a guy like Patty Mills, and it kind of fits to some degree the Blake Griffin thing, a little bit the Jeff Green thing from previous seasons, is he's bringing in a veteran presence that you just know. No moment's going to be too big for him. He's a steady hand. He's actually a pretty good defender for his size. He's smaller, but he can defend the position pretty well. I actually thought that Patty Mills would not be on the table for the Nets, mostly because, like you said, the money. I thought he might find other suitors among other teams. The fact that he is here, this is like, there's a reason to get excited. There's a reason Nets World was excited about this signing today. I kind of thought it might be a little pipe dreamy, just because I thought that he'd have a lot of teams out there. And I didn't think he's not settling with the Nets, but at all. But I just thought he'd have enough suitors out there that it might drive the price up a little bit. This is an excellent signing for the Nets. Can come off the bench already, doesn't need to fight. He's not going to be fighting for a starting position. He kind of like knows what his role is in the NBA. It's years under Pop, super disciplined. You got to be really, really excited about this. Knowing Shamet kind of left, this is a big upgrade over Landry Shamet. If you're going to look at like where they're kind of fitting the positions here, this is an upgrade over the Shamet minutes for sure from last year.
Yeah, when you think about, obviously, Dinwiddie didn't play at all last year, but he was going to be the guy leading the second unit. And that's the point. You mentioned Shamet there parting. I'm just going to put in the context of this. You've replaced Shamet, Johnson, and James with Mills, Thomas, and Carter. And when you look at it like that, if you want to talk about free agency, you throw the draft into it, those are three guards, and you collectively, this is a much improved group, and it's a much improved group from the standpoint of, even a guy like Carter. Just, you know what he is, you know what he's capable of. Patty Mills is now, could he be your starting point guard, splitting time with a young player somewhere else? Possibly. But you can be very comfortable with him now leading your second unit. He can score on his own. He can create. You know, you just, even Spencer Dinwiddie didn't represent that type of player necessarily, specific to the role that I think the Nets want when you already have James Harden, you already have Kyrie Irving. So, you know, this may not be the sexiest name in the world. And a lot of Nets fans, they were ecstatic when they saw it go off on Twitter. But this is exactly the kind of player that makes sense for Sean Marks and for Steve Nash and this team. Like, he's a perfect plug-in. We want to replace and surround our superstars with veteran, reliable talent. And that's what Patty Mills is.
Yeah, this is, yeah, like I said, I can't really be, it's funny to think about a clear bench player as a guy you get really excited about, but we're in this is the world we live in as a Nets fan right now. When you have the three guys that are already superstars, you know what you have in them. What you want to be able to do is surround them with really complementary pieces. Now, the good news about the big three is that most players in the NBA that are worth their salt are going to be complementary players because these three guys do everything else so well, specifically score. But, you know, they just command so much attention mm-hmm. that if you can bring in kind of any, you can get excited for nearly every other type of player to come in as part of the team when you just have these three other guys that do everything so well. So then at that point, that is why, you know, if like the Bulls signed Patty Mills or like, I don't know, the Cavs signed, he wouldn't go to these teams. But if those teams signed Patty Mills, like it's hard to get excited about it because you really need them. You need the player to do so much more for you. Right. But the Nets don't need that right now. The Nets don't.
Patty Mills to Detroit.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah, like Detroit's like, oh, what are we going to do with this guy? Right. Well, it's like, well, they wouldn't sign him for starters because he's limited in some ways that a young team doesn't need. But when you're a pretty complete team like the Nets are right now, then you get these role players, you get these veteran presences, you get these guys that, you know, like I said, the stage will not be too big for them. These guys got, you know, he's had a perfect career in the sense that who else would you want to bring over than a guy that spent his entire career with San Antonio and Pop, right? Playing in big games, fighting, punching above yeah. their weight a lot of times. And this is exactly who you want to have around. And so, and I kind of like don't discount the international thing either. Like that Australia team is a really tough team. And there's a reason they're kind of a tough out. These guys play really, really hard. And so, right, when you're making these lists of guys that you want, one, there's a reason we made a list of a ton of dudes because you can easily envision a ton of guys on the team. But when it's all said and done, the list gets small about the guys you would really want that are in this category. And Patty Mills is 100% in that category of veteran presence. You know what you're getting from him. Super steady. Best player in the world? No. But you're getting him at like a reasonable rate for a contract. You know you're going to have him for a little bit here. And yeah, it's a piece you can exactly see how he will fit in, right? Like you do not need to figure like with Blake yeah. Griffin, it's like, oh, how is he going to fit in? Okay, well, we know he might do this, he might need this, whatever. And then you need to kind of wait and see. Even Bruce Brown, how is he going to fit in? You know, we don't really know. The guy that we're going to talk about next, maybe a little bit like this also. But Patty Mills is not going to be that case. He's going to be able to come off screens and hit threes. He's going to do some secondary ball handling for you. He's going to play very hard on defense. He's not going to make mistakes. And that's just the kind of guy you get, and that's why it's easy to be excited for him.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. So, again, it's a box checked for the Brooklyn Nets here in free agency to start off, you know, on the second day, but officially starting it off in that sense. And, again, when you just think about it in the context of players leaving and how you want to replace them, I think that what you're seeing is, to this point, and now we'll get into the next signing, a concerted effort to bring in players, to your point, right? How is Blake Griffin going to fit in? Now you know what his role is, but Bruce Brown as well. It seems like, we'll see how the rest of free agency goes, a concerted effort was made by the Nets here to say, we want to bring in a known commodity. I don't want to bring in a mystery. I don't want to bring in a potential question mark, because you can have a couple of those, a couple of proverbial wild cards, and they can pay off dividends. It's like Claxton and how he developed last year. It's like Bruce Brown. It's the buyout of Blake Griffin and the splash that he makes. It's even the renaissance of Jeff Green's career. Like, all those things are awesome, and also you didn't have a guaranteed sense that you were going to get that from any of those players. So that's the difference, I think, from year one to year two with these three stars. And probably, by the way, you know, lessons learned, right? What is Sean Marks taking away from year one with these guys? That we need to still find ways to have that veteran talent and experience around them. Nothing short of course, playoff experience like Mills brings as well.
Yeah, and last thing with him, and before we get into this last guy, is that one thing with Mills, too, is that bringing a guy like him in, to me, it means you can like take another chance at another guy in free agency. You can take another chance on a more speculative guy because you know what you're getting with him. You can then just go and say, hey, now that we have this and we have this kind of locked up, we can get a little bit more. You know, we can, you know, roll the dice a little bit more on a couple different guys now, if they're, you know, for some minimums or whatever, just because we know, because Patty Mills is a clear rotation guy. Like, this guy will be in the rotation, top seven in the rotation for sure. Like, you just know it to be the case. That is, you know, short of injury, going in, projecting full health, whatever. This guy is a rotation player, so you're not really speculating too much on what you're getting. But now you have the opportunity to say, okay, now we can kind of just, you know, like I said, roll the dice, take a risk, and try to grab another lightning in a bottle with another guy because we're so firmed up at the top of the rotation. So, yeah, just tons of reasons to get excited about that. We're getting to the James Johnson signing here in a second. First, if you're trying to shop for auto parts right now, you can't go to these local places, folks. They're going to type it into the computer just like you are, okay? When you go to Rock Auto, you're typing in the make, model of your car, and the part. They're doing the same exact thing in their store, except you can't see the screen. You can't see the price. They disappear into the cavern. You don't know what's coming back with Rock Auto. That is not the case. You know what you're going to get. It's better than these local places, especially on the price front, where Rock Auto is 30 or even 50% better than those local chain stores. And forget about the mechanics. They got everything you need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpets. Rock Auto is a family-owned business. They've been in business for over 20 years. RockAuto.com. Go over there right now. You see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box. They'll know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Now, there's a guy out there. He's been around the NBA for a bit. I like in the last segment, we didn't mention his name until the very end. It was, you know, very mysterious. But James Johnson, he gets brought in free agency by the Brooklyn Nets, signs on a one-year, $2.7 million deal. The idea of Jeff Green left and you replaced him with James Johnson, well, these aren't the same type of player. So that isn't necessarily how you should be looking at bringing in James Johnson. But how do you feel about him, again, in that same vein of a role player that can serve to be a piece, can serve as something to this roster, but understanding he's a journeyman, he's been around the league, and as I said, looking up his stats, you know, he played for six different rosters in the last 2 years. So that's what he is, but can the Nets get the best version of him like they got the best version of Jeff Green last year?
So the Jeff Green comparison, I don't know if I said that earlier. I was mostly just looking at like a wing that they were replacing here. He's definitely not a Jeff Green.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. You're just replacing a position. Yeah. Like, you're replacing the position. You're not replacing the skill set, you know, 100%. No, you did not make that comp whatsoever.
I think actually in the defensive end, there's some comps here. I think that like they're a little more similar defensive end. James Johnson's a big dude, 6'7", 240. He's a load. He can play a little bit of small ball center, which you don't mind. He can probably guard three through a small five. He'd probably be a little pressed on the three end of that. He's more of just like sort of ranging toward what a traditional four looks like now. There's a reason he's been a journeyman. He's not that great of a shooter. So that's probably injuries have been a little bit of an issue for him in the past. He's had some back stuff earlier in his career. I don't think it's reared its ugly head as much, but he's just made so many stops along the way that sometimes it's hard to tell what was injury stuff and what was just, you know, moving around teams and getting acclimated and just not finding his way into rotations. Rebounds the position pretty well. Like I said, he's a fighter. He's literally a black belt in martial arts. So he's a really, really tough dude. And
can't wait to see that on the court.
I'm going to wait this. We'll talk about it later when we get more in depth with some of these guys. I have actually a pretty funny James Johnson story for my other business. But I'll wait on that because it's just kind of long.
Right.
It might be that only I find it funny. Well, me and one other person find it funny. But I think what you're bringing in here is a guy that can eat up some of these bigger minutes, not bigger in terms of length, in terms of like size minutes that they're just going to need to do. Because I think the Nets are still sort of, I know, you know, they have Sharp, they brought him into the draft. We'll see what happens with Reggie Perry. Size was an issue for the Nets last season for sure on the interior, especially the athletic size. It just kind of really didn't exist for them at long periods of time. It's one of the reasons they got killed on the glass a lot. Johnson does rebound the position okay. And like I said, he can guard well enough, I think, that he'll be able to kind of take minutes, you know, and bang bodies in a way that the Nets didn't have, just kind of didn't have enough guys like this last season. So he's not going to crack your starting lineup. He got a couple starts last year when New Orleans was really just dying for guys to be able to play later in the season. But he's not going to be a starter, but a guy that can eat up minutes and the guy that's like sort of like your enforcer slash give you some fouls, muscle up some guys at times, maybe hit the occasional three. I like the signing, especially because they're not really spending all that much money here either.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. So again, and when you talk about a team that wanted to get a little thicker, wanted to have a little bit more muscle, I don't think it hurts to have a guy like that. Well, I'm sure your story will play a factor in how we look at him in that regard. So yeah, it's a different type of player. I don't hate it. I'm happy with it. And again, I think that you'll see a better version of him. I did happen to just quickly, you know, if you go back, there was a very small sample size that I pulled out from his brief stint in Minnesota. You know, there's a run there a couple of years ago where he's giving you, and it's really the numbers that I liked were 4 to 5 rebounds, 3 or 4 assists, 12 points over 24 minutes. Now, he's not going to play. He may not never play 24 minutes for the Brooklyn Nets. But if he can be impactful in that way and play smart basketball, then I think there's value there. The other thing that you mentioned just about, you said maybe a little small ball center perhaps for him, not necessarily, but there's at least that possibility. The one thing about this free agency, and it's far from over, obviously, but coming into it, it felt like the same thing that was said last year, even when they had Jared Allen. It was the same thing coming to this year's draft. The Nets need the five. They need the big. They need the big. You know, there just is this world where the sample size the Nets got over this last season, even with the injuries and guys in and out of the roster, they at least unlocked something. The ability of using an incredibly undersized five in Bruce Brown or Blake Griffin sliding into that role at times. They used Jeff Green in that vein when it was applicable. Claxton's out on the floor. You know that Kevin Durant can create these mismatches and different ideas. So I think that adding a player like this, who is not a center by any stretch of the imagination, but at least has the body to be able to take on some of those challenges at times, it does offer a different perspective on how you construct this thing. And the Nets took another center in Sharp, obviously, in the draft. So they addressed it. But I don't know if there was ever this sense from the Nets coming into free agency that we need to look at one of these guys. You know, I mean, even the Robin Lopez's of the world, just to say a little more length, a little more size. I don't know if that was ever really a theory that the Nets were operating on. I think it's something that from the outside looking in, we say they need it. I won't be shocked if they add a veteran minimum guy in that role, but I think the Nets understand what they can accomplish without necessarily having to, quote, worry about that position the way other teams do based on personnel.
Yeah, I think you and I have actually had a pretty steady hand about this. We really haven't done too much calling for having to bring in centers. We sometimes hear it from fans that want it more than anything else. We see it a lot online. For you and I didn't even bother looking at some of these centers from free agency because I was like, "What's the point? What's the point?" You know, like I don't know. We talked about DeAndre.
By the way, when Billy Reinhart had, Billy had said the Nets maybe missed out on a potential target in Robin Lopez, and I'm not knocking Billy. He's covering this stuff, and it made sense. And he said he wouldn't have minded it. And I said, I don't mind missing out on the other Lopez brother. And he asked me for who else would you like. And to your point, I was like, I don't really know. I wasn't really looking at him in particular. I see Robin Lopez. I don't feel one way or the other about being in or out on targeting him.
Yeah, and I feel like that around a lot of these traditional centers or even these bigger, like sometimes these more traditional fours, which the NBA is kind of doesn't have as many of as anymore, frankly. But there's just a reason I don't think the Nets needed to bring in these guys. And that's why actually originally when we talked about Sharp, we kind of thought, when we saw the original tapes, going back to how we talked about him after the draft, was saying, well, I just don't want this. The Darren Sharp that played on North Carolina, I had no interest in bringing in at all, right? It wasn't until we heard about his ability to extend the floor and get out a little bit more and space a little bit that we started feeling a little bit more excited about it, because the post-up player that we saw on tape was just – it was the same reason we didn't talk about any other centers from a free agent point of view. It's like, the Nets just don't play this way. They don't need these guys.
Right.
This is not the style they play. DeAndre Jordan, who was whatever he was, it was a guy that just didn't even step on the court. Now, we've talked, you know, you need to eat innings here. And as the season goes on, I think James Johnson definitely fits that kind of role as a guy who can get in there if he can stay healthy. He can, like I said, he can bang some bodies. He's a big dude. He's super tough. This is what you need. You don't need.
By the way, help keep Blake Griffin healthy, right? I mean, we're talking about not a replacement, you know, not a replacement for Jeff Green, but this is about maybe replacing some of the wear and tear on a Blake Griffin who was very durable in his run with Brooklyn once he came out of the buyout market. But you don't want to have him being overtaxed throughout the regular season either.
Right. And like, you know, these James Johnson numbers, you got to remember a lot of these minutes that he was playing for some of these teams. Sometimes it was hard for him to get off the bench. But a lot of these times where he got extended runs, they really were in the fill-in mentality kind of thing, right? It was he wasn't really playing so much a role as he was. I'm telling you, like when he played a lot of these starts for New Orleans last year, was when they were decimated by injuries. Everyone was hurt, right? like Zion was hurt. They were kind of getting near the end of the season. That's where a lot of his minutes came from. This, going back to his Minnesota time, we saw some of that happen with him there. His Dallas run, he got a couple starts and then saw extended minutes. A lot of these times when the teams were super banged up. Now, is that an indictment to his skill level? Maybe, but we also haven't seen him play with guys where he doesn't need to touch the ball at all. Because I've watched James Johnson a lot. Like, there's a lot of mistakes in his game. Right. It typically has to do when he's allowed to, like, kind of free and wheel and deal on the court, put the ball on the deck, and do stuff like that. right. If he's not asked to do that kind of stuff and he can fit these very specific roles that the Nets need, I think there's a totally different version that you can unlock of him. His mistake, he's a mistake-prone player. When, like, he had 2.5 turnovers per game with Minnesota on like 24 minutes a game. Like, that's a lot of turnovers, right? But it's because they're just asking him to just kind of do a lot, and he's got a lot of confidence, and he probably was trying to do more than he needed to. That's not going to be a case here. So I think that's where you can really just kind of look at his size and his frame and athleticism and say, hey, that's what we're bringing in here.
Yeah, no, that's why it makes sense. And again, we're going to continue to cover free agency. I'm sure there'll be other pieces here. And that's also why, as you said, next week we're going to come back in and really talk about these guys, how they fit in, the roles, how their presence impacts other roles for some of the higher players up on the rotations and even the guys in behind them. And it's hard to paint a full picture of a roster when it's incomplete. And as of right now, the Nets roster remains incomplete.
Yep, and we're going to – well, hopefully we'll have some more Dinwiddie stuff as the rest of this week goes on. Like, Adam has a really cool interview about one of the draft picks that the Nets are bringing in that we'll have up either this week or next week. You'll probably hear a couple solo pods out of me breaking down some of the stuff that we did at the draft as well. So we got a lot of stuff coming here over the next couple of weeks. In the meantime, betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game.
Juicy.
Oh, very juicy. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling, you're going to get daily picks, wrong team favorite picks, blowout specials, and more. Even the lock of the day from Lee. Follow Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. You can also rate and review our podcast wherever you listen.
And of course, you know, everybody wants Joseph Tsai to spend big, throw all the dollars everywhere. Well, guess what, friends? Let me tell you. Let me break down for you here. A little spending money to burn, money that you did not necessarily earn. Rainy days seem to wind up sunny, long as you got a little spending money. That's James Willie Buffett.
Oh, James Buffett. I love when you do that. James Buffett, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.